imperial leader. The life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, always a brilliant thinker and a man true to his ideals despite party ties, has come to the parting of the ways with the Conservative Party. Sacrificing his chances of one day entering a Conservative cabinet, he prefers to declare openly that he will take his own course of action dictated by his ideals and not dictated by political party whips. We find him now in a new apartment which he has taken in Mount Street in Mayfair. The time is the early 20th century.
Mother, how glad I am to see you.
Winston.
I knew you'd be the first to want to see my new apartment.
Yes, rather luxurious. Very much like the apartment of the hero in your novel, Savrola.
I thought you'd notice that. See, a study.
Yes.
Bedroom. And a bathroom. All that a civilized man, if we can call ourselves really civilized, could want.
And a picture of Disraeli. What an unforgettable man. Pity you were too young to remember, Dizzy.
I remember how sad both you and father were when the news came of his death.
Grand old days. Disraeli and the Queen. Goodness, it makes me feel quite old.
Oh, what nonsense. You have perennial youth, my dear. All we Churchills have it. Now sit down and I'll make you some tea.
No, not just now. I will sit down, though. Winston.
I suspect you have something very important to say.
Well, you're still my son. And I think perhaps my advice might still be welcome.
Always.
I've heard such gossip about you, Winston. About your political activities.
Oh? Who's been talking?
Beresford says that you've betrayed the party. He showed me a copy of the Times. It criticized you rather severely.
I'll tell you what the Times said, Mother. I know it by heart. Mr. Winston Churchill repeats again the most disastrous mistake of his father's career.
Oh, darling, you didn't.
I dared to criticize the government, Mother, on the same grounds as my father criticized it. Was that a sin? Must I cry for Carvey and promise never to offend again?
I'm only thinking of yourself, Winston. Your future was assured. Both Lord Salisbury and Mr. Chamberlain behind you. It was only a matter of time before you were in the cabinet.
I may be in the cabinet without the help of either. In any case, Lord Salisbury is about to retire. And his place will be taken by his precious nephew, Balfour. You know what father thought of him.
Yes, I know. But what are you going to do, Winston?
Oh, I still have a few friends. In fact, some of us are thinking of starting a little party of our own, as father did. There's Lord Hugh Cecil, Major Jack Seeley, Sir Gilbert Parker, Sir Edgar Vincent, Lord Percy, Ian Malcolm, Arthur Stanley, and myself. We called ourselves the Hooligans. It's really a revival of Father's old fourth party.
Well, as long as you think you're doing the right thing, dear.
I know I am, Mother. I'm doing as my father would have done.
But Beresford said he wouldn't be surprised even if you went over to the Liberals. Winston, you wouldn't do that.
Well, I haven't thought about it so far. But I don't see why not. Lloyd has become a great friend of mine.
Lloyd George. Winston, he was pro-Boer.
So was I, even if I did fight against them. I still am if it comes to that. The Boers are a very fine race. And I want them to be our friends once we've beaten them.
Well, I suppose you're right, Winston. You usually are. And whatever you do, it's quite all right with me. Even if it means that all our friends desert us.
Oh, was there ever a mother like you? I know I'm lucky. And how is our friend Cornwallis West? I must drop in and have tea with you sometimes. No, I'm so busy. Busy? I haven't a moment to myself. Looks like an all-night sitting in the house, and then I have to go and lecture at Plymouth. Still, I enjoy life, and that's everything. Everything. If only more people realize how much you can enjoy living. David, you saw what happened yesterday. Balfour and all his gang left the house while I was speaking. It was a direct and studied insult.
You'd better come over with us, Winston. Lloyd George and Winston Churchill, names that go together. And after all, the Conservatives are doomed at the next election. You might as well be on the winning side.
Well, it's certain I won't be welcome on the government side any longer.
Do you want to remain there, with Chamberlain proclaiming tariff reform as a policy, with Balfour afraid to say where he stands on the matter? Why, there's never been a more puerile government. If it hadn't been for the war fever, they'd never have got a majority. But that's all over now, and the people have had time to think. I tell you, Winston, they're doomed. Get out while you can.
I certainly wouldn't support a policy of protection.
Yeah, we'll smite them hip and thigh on that. The people of England will never consent to a tax on food. And even Chamberlain admits it'll have to come to that if he gets his way.
You're right, David. But I warn you that I might prove just as difficult in the Liberal camp as I have been with the Tories.
Oh, it won't be the same thing. We're progressive. We move with the times. And we don't expect every member to conform absolutely, as the Tories do.
It's a very serious step to take, David. It means going even further than my father did.
This is a new age, Winston. An age of change. The old ideas are going. The Liberal revolution is beginning. You should be courageous enough to cut the painter and start off an uncharted sea.
Oh, it isn't a question of courage, David. But I'm really a Tory at heart, you know. I love the old things, and I wouldn't change one of them.
It's the Conservatives that want to do that. We've always had free trade. I hope we always will. But Chamberlain's declared for protection, and Balfour hasn't repudiated the scheme. Are you prepared to associate your name with that?
No. Tomorrow I take my seat with you. I've made my decision. Let them say what they like. This is one of those critical moments in a man's life when he makes a choice which will change his entire life. Well, I'll never shirk a decision. I've made it. Late. Or am I in time? My watch must have been slow. Though I say, Carthew, what time do you make it? I say, Carthew. The second snub today. And in the precincts of the House. Ah, what little people they are. They cut me dead because I'm faithful to myself rather than to political machinery. Oh, perhaps one of these days they'll fawn round me, these little men. One of these days, by heaven, they will.
Hello, Winston. What's upsetting you?
Oh, do I appear upset? I'm not upset. Definitely not upset.
You're so very emphatic that you are not upset. And I think you are particularly annoyed. Is it with anybody in particular, or the world in general?
I've been snubbed by some little men, pretending they don't hear or see me, and walk away, behaving like children.
You'll have to be prepared for a great deal of that. Stick to your last, Winston.
If I had any doubts about myself, they only needed this to resolve me. I see my course clearly before me, as I've always seen it. Never will I be frightened to make a big decision. Why be a successful mediocrity?
You'll never be a mediocrity, Winston, successful or otherwise. I think you'll either be a success or a great failure.
At least I shall have followed the dictates of my conscience. And who does that wins the greatest victory? An internal one. Isn't it strange, David? Most of the troubles of the world are caused by little things. Tiny, stupid little things. Personal affronts. Personal jealousies, personal meanness. Little things. Not the big things. To rise above them. To rise above mediocrity and smallness in an individual or in a nation. That's the vital thing. The greater vision than breadth. Pardon me. You can see I've been worked up almost into a frenzy by these very same little meannesses. Come, let's go into the House, into the lion's den. I feel there'll be a great deal of noise and bother today. But there are times, frequently, when I feel like a fight. And I'm in my best fighting mood today.
Member for Alder. Alder, order. If the Conservative Party continues its vulgar clamor, I shall be unable to make myself heard.
I insist on order being restored. The honorable members are behaving as if they were in a beer garden, not the House of Commons.
Only the Conservative members, Mr. Speaker.
The honorable member for Oldham may now proceed.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, some of you have called me a renegade and a traitor. I have often noticed that when political controversy becomes excited, persons of choleric disposition are apt to be rude. But I would point out, Mr. Speaker, that if I am a traitor, at any rate, I was fighting the Boers in South Africa when many of my accusers were slandering them at home. I had the honor of serving my country in the field while these gallant fire eaters were content to kill Kruger with swords in the comfortable security of England.
Aside, prepared to take all the risks of a sudden political demise, Winston Churchill, true to his conscience, determined to maintain liberty of thought and of action, leaves the Conservative Party for the Liberals. Criticized by erstwhile friends, he is still honored by those who understand the real meaning of the phrase, "Unto thine own self be true." This is one of the outstanding qualities of the man who is destined one day to become imperial leader.